All because of Christ dying for our sins, we have hope for eternity. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 is where we're going to find our text this morning. I am thankful today for another time to gather to worship the Lord. How about you? You never really appreciate being able to gather until you're not able to. So remember and rejoice that you're able to be here today. Thankful for all of you. For those of you who don't know, we're studying the book of 2 Corinthians. We've actually been studying the book of Acts, and we've come to the place where the apostle wrote this letter to the church at Corinth. And so we've stepped out of Acts to kind of do a summary overview, kind of a survey of the letter. I'm not very good at doing surveys, though. I kind of get bogged down in the details from time to time, and I'll go ahead and tell you that's going to happen this morning. So we're not going to get very far in chapter 7 this morning. We'll try to get a little further tonight, but this is a tremendous truth that we want to get today, and let me try to give you this kind of this nugget, kind of the main thought today before I lose some of you, because no doubt I'll lose some of you. Some of you are already gone. But get this, receiving and remembering the promises of God will both inwardly and outwardly transform your life. Receiving and remembering the promises of God will both inwardly and outwardly transform your life. That's the great truth that we want to pull from the scriptures this morning. I think you'll see that very clearly. Let's pray together, and then we'll read the text this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the day together. We are thankful for the beautiful weather. But no matter what's going on outside, we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts because you have saved us by your amazing grace. Thank you for Jesus who died for us and rose again. I pray that you've been glorified in everything we've done so far today, and I pray that you will be glorified in the rest of the services today. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me, for I am nothing without you. I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us, that you would teach us all truth, that you transform our lives. Anyone who has never been born again that's hearing the message today, I pray that you would work in their hearts, that you would bring them to repentance and faith. Lord, today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And I pray that they would repent of their sin and unbelief. They would trust with all their heart in Jesus who died for them and rose again. And today, believing in you, they would call on your name and be saved. Help all who are saved to be fully surrendered. And I pray that you would accomplish your will and your purposes in our lives today. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So look at it, just this one verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, this means that you have to have a couple of things. Number one, you would have to have those promises, and then you would have to remember those promises for it to have the impact on your life. I think this is an outstanding Bible verse, don't you? I think about popular verses. What do you guys think would be the most popular verses in America today from the Bible? Anybody? John 3:16, somebody know what that says? Amen. Gold star, Brother Nelson over there. You know, every time I go to quote John 3:16 publicly, I mess up. So that was fantastic. What else? What's another popular Bible verse? Let he that is without sin cast the first stone. I used to think John 3:16 was the most well-known verse in America, but I think that one takes the cake. That's when everybody likes to say, ah, you can't judge me. Only God can judge me, as if to say, God's not going to judge you, but he is. And by the way, Jesus also said, judge righteous judgment. So making a distinction between good and evil is not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. 23rd Psalm. Psalm 20. You want to quote the whole thing for us? No? Okay. A lot of people know the 23rd Psalm. What else? Jesus wept. Yeah, you did. Very well done. Platinum star over here. Yeah, Jesus wept. When you're assigned to memorize a verse, that's a lot of people's number one go-to. I'm gonna get that one. Somebody said something else? Ephesians 2 and 8. Philippians 4:13. Okay. By grace are you saved through faith. Yeah, not of works, not of yourselves. And then Philippians 4:13, does anybody know what it says? I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And we know that that's about winning football games and hitting home runs. It's about killing deer, right? That's what it's about, right? No, if you're an American Christian, you might think that. But if you'll study the text, you're going to find out the Apostle Paul was going through incredible suffering, and he rejoiced to do so. And he said, I can endure this suffering. I can have the joy of the Lord in the midst of the suffering because of Christ who's in me. So we think about a lot of popular verses. And studying this text this past week, just this verse, I can't figure out why we don't know this verse. I'll confess to you, like, I never really paid much attention to it. I've read 2 Corinthians several times. I've studied it before. This is the first time I've ever preached through the book. But what an amazing verse that's full of great truths that we ought to internalize and keep. Having, therefore, these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is a Bible verse that we ought to know. This is a Bible verse that we ought to love. This is a Bible verse that we ought to hold on to and cling to in our lives. I wonder why this isn't a more popular verse. I think that most of the verses that we know and are very popular with us have to do with what we get from God. We're saved by grace. God so loved the world. We love those things. I can do all things through Christ. Those are verses that really... we love. It's about us and it's about what God's done for us. But this verse calls us to cleanse ourselves. This verse calls us to holiness. This verse calls us to respond in the right way to the promises of God. And I don't know that we like that so much. I like the gifts of God. I like the blessings of God. I like the grace of God. But sometimes we want to stop there and not realize that God expects our lives to be different because he saved us. That he didn't just save us and leave us to ourselves, but that he wants to sanctify us and he wants to use us for his kingdom and purposes. And we can't be the same as we always were and be used by God the way he wants to use us. The promises of God lead us to complete holiness. The promises of God lead us to complete holiness. Look what he says. Having therefore these promises. What promises? Well, go back to the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 16. The last half of that verse, we'll just pick up at the last part of it. He says this. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What are the promises? The promises are by faith. God is going to live inside of you. By faith, the Spirit of God indwells you. You've received the earnest of the Spirit. And if you're born again, God's Spirit lives inside of you today. He says, I will walk in them. Not only did he just save you, he quickened you, but he indwells you and he's with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be in you, I will walk in you, and I will be your God. You guys realize today that your God, if your faith is in Jesus, is the one true and living God. That your God today is the God who created the universe. Your God is the one who spoke the stars into existence. Your God is the one who holds every atom in the universe together by the word of his power. And he is your God today. They will be my people. Not only is he your God, but you belong to him. I am his, and he is mine. Isn't that amazing? Look at the verse, into verse 17. He says, I will receive you. I will receive you. Do you get this today? The holy God, in whom is no shadow of sin, absolutely perfect, absolutely pure, beyond our comprehension, has received you to himself. Listen, we should be vaporized by even looking his direction, and yet he welcomes us as his own through faith in Jesus. What a Savior. I will receive you. I will be a father unto you. You will be my sons and daughters. I am a child of the King. Not just a king. The King. He's my father. And I'm his son. And if your faith is in Christ, you are his son or his daughter. He is the Lord Almighty. Friends, you have to be a recipient of the promises first. What does that mean? How do you get all these things? I mean, how do you become a child of God? How do you become a son of the King of Glory? How do you get received by God Almighty, the perfect and holy one? How do you become one of his own? How is it that he could be your God? How is it that God would dwell in you? How is it that God himself would walk in you? How could that possibly happen? I mean, what do you got to do? I mean, do you got to stop sinning and never sin again? What do you have to do? Join a church, get baptized, sell everything you have, give all your money to the poor? You got to do something incredible. You got to be burned at the stake, nailed to a cross. I mean, what would a person have to do for all of these promises to be true? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't try to bring anything else to the table. Believe, trust in Christ alone, and that's it. It's not Christ plus anything, it's Christ alone. And if you are trusting in Jesus today, all of these promises are yours. And if you've never been born again, these promises can be yours today. You can trust in Christ today. You can turn away from your sin and unbelief. You can believe with all your heart in Jesus. You could call on his name and be saved. That could happen for you today. And you could be a recipient of the promises of God. Now, when you receive these promises, they will impact your life. Having, therefore, these promises, he says in chapter 7 and verse 1. Do you get it? You have these promises. Not having had in the past and not will have in the future, but having these promises now and forever. I love that little ending, ing. That means it's yours now, and it means it's continually yours forever. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. When you have these promises, it will have an effect on your life. He says perfecting holiness. This word perfecting has always been a little confusing to me. I don't know if you read your Bible and get a little confused sometimes, but I do. The word perfect has always been one of those words, because when I think about perfect, I think about how God is, like perfect. But this word perfecting, it's the Greek word epiteleo, and it means to literally to fulfill further or to fulfill completely. In other words, God, who began a good work in you, will perform it. Okay? So God is working not only, if you're saved, has he saved you now, but he is working on sanctifying you now. And that's the process we're talking about, that we would be perfecting holiness, that we would be fulfilling bringing to completion the holiness of God in our lives. Now, I want you to notice this. It's a command he gives to us. That's a little tricky, though, because you can't make yourself holy. But it's a command for us. So, is it something that I do? Or is it something that he does? And the answer is yes. You know, I don't know what's wrong with us in our Western thinking, but maybe you're not like this, but most of us really have a black or white way of seeing things. Like, it has to be this or that. So many times the scriptures don't work that way, and God doesn't work that way. It's not you or him, but it's both. It's God working in you. In other words, God's not going to complete or perfect the holiness he started in you without your cooperation. And you're not going to be able to complete the holiness God started in you without his help, without his empowering. So it's going to take both. It's going to take both. Perfecting, completing holiness. Holiness is purity. Holiness is separation. And it requires cleansing ourselves from all filthiness. That word filthiness means a stain. It means immorality. And he wants us to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. So when we sin, is it internal or is it external? Yes, thank you so much. It's both, isn't it? It starts in here. And it happens out here. Okay, you guys still with me this morning? Anybody ever sin with your hands? Anybody ever sin with your feet? What do you mean? Well, you went somewhere you shouldn't have been. Anybody ever sin with your eyes? Oh, let's see if I can get everybody. Anybody ever sin with your mouth? Mm-hmm. We're all guilty, right? So what's he saying? We've got things that we need to clean up, and that's inside and outside, in our flesh and in our spirit. That means if you're doing things, saying things, seeing things, hearing things, going places that you shouldn't go, you need to clean that up. And you say, but preacher, I just can't help it. I can't help but see that. I can't help but do that. I can't help but eat that or drink that. I just can't help myself. Again, you can't do it on your own, but by his strength you can. And if you have the promises, it will happen in your life. You've got a father who loves you too much to let you continue in sin. He loves you too much to leave you to yourself. He's going to work in your life. And so the cleansing's going to happen, and you ought to be an active participant in that. You ought to have a desire for holiness. And I think that you'll all agree with this if you're actually born again. You just don't want to sin like you used to. Not that there's not temptation, not that there's not fleshly desires. I'm just saying that it just doesn't hold the same attraction that it used to have. As a matter of fact, you get to a place where you hate the things that you used to live for. You Baptists, y'all think that you can just get saved and then sin as much as you want to, and it'll all be okay. Don't you, Baptist? I'll tell you what Adrian Rogers told somebody that was giving him a hard time about that. He said, I sin more than I want to. What? Yeah, I don't want to sin at all. I want to walk in holiness. I want to please my Savior. I don't want to keep seeing things I shouldn't see and hearing things I shouldn't hear and going places I shouldn't go and doing things I shouldn't do and saying things I shouldn't say. I don't want to keep living that way. I want to cleanse my flesh. But I want to cleanse my spirit too. And let me help you out today. You need to hear this. You can't cleanse one without cleansing the other. There are a lot of people who are trying to clean up their lives. They're going to turn over a new leaf. They're going to clean up everything on the outside. But listen, if you don't have the inside clean, it's not going to matter and it's not going to work. We're always trying to do one or the other and it just won't work. All right, let me try this. How many of you would like to be physically fit? Buddy, I didn't say are you. I said, would you like to be? Like to be fit. Like to take care of this body God's given me. This is the temple of the Lord. I don't want to take care of it. I want to be fit. But here's the problem with most of us. I'm gonna give you something earth-shattering that you probably didn't know. If you will eat right and exercise, you will be fit. Every year, hundreds of books are written about it. Every year, Americans spend thousands and thousands of dollars to buy a book, read a book, download an app, pay for a program, and at the end of the day, you know what it all is? Eat right and exercise. You know what it's always going to be? Eat right and exercise. Now, I got a problem. I got a lot of problems, but I got a problem when it comes to this, physical health. Because it seems like there are times when I do really well and I can eat right. I can clean up my diet for a while. But then I'm just too lazy to exercise. And there are other times that I do a little better and I exercise, but then my diet's trash. And I have a really hard time getting both of those things together. You know, bodily exercise profits a little. That's what my Bible says. But exercising yourself to godliness has benefits now and forever. It's interesting how those disciplines line up because you have to have both. You got to clean up your act inside and out. And that's what we do. We work real hard on the spiritual disciplines and we focus on praying and we focus on reading the scriptures, but then sometimes we'll get up out of prayer and we'll go right back to doing the same thing we were doing before. We've got to get both. We've got to have both. Perfecting holiness. Holiness is hagiosune. It's from the word agios. That's holiness. That's what's sacred. This means something is physically pure, morally blameless, or ceremonially consecrated. Did you get that? Holiness is something that is physically pure, morally blameless, ceremonially consecrated. That's what you and I are supposed to be. We are ceremonially ceremonially consecrated in this way. God has set you aside through your salvation. God has ordained for you to be different, to be out of the world and a part of his kingdom. He has sanctified you. He has made you holy. That's why when you read in your Bible, he calls the believers saints, because he has sanctified you. But then it's more than that. Friends, it's to be morally blameless. It's to be physically pure. In other words, I can't cleanse myself to holiness if I'm still doing filthy things. I can't cleanse myself to holiness if I'm still entertaining filthy thoughts. So we've got to be really careful, don't we? I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but we live in a very entertainment-driven society here in America. And most of the entertainment that we consume is absolute trash. And most of you sitting in the room today consume entertainment, at least at some level, and most of us in the room have been desensitized just to how bad it is. So what do? We gotta get clean. We've got to start comparing things to what is clean. We've got to start looking to the Word of God and letting God dictate what's right and wrong to us rather than ourselves or society. Listen, I get it. Some of you grew up in a day where you could trust some things. I mean, it used to be even most of my younger childhood, like if Disney put out a movie, it was pretty safe to watch. It wasn't going to have something bad in it. You could just let your kids watch it, and you could trust that it was probably going to be okay. If you're trusting Disney today, you're out of your mind. And some of you grew up with it and you let the nostalgia influence you. You're like, well, I grew up with Disney, so I want my kids to grow up with Disney too. God help you. It's not what it used to be. I'm just saying that we need to pay attention and let God tell us what's right and wrong, not let ourselves decide. You must be a recipient of the promises. Perfecting holiness requires cleansing ourselves inside and out. And that means we have to go to God. I said it already. You can't do it on your own. But look at the mechanism God chooses to use to bring this about. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness can only be accomplished in the fear of God. Let me share a couple of verses with you. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Look at that with me. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do you hear it? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because God is working in you. It means that you're working it out. What does that mean? Do I gotta save myself? No. It means that God has saved you and you're living it out. That you are born again, so you're living like you've been born again. You are saved, so you're living like you're saved. You have been brought out of the darkness, so you're walking in the light. You're not dead in your trespasses and sins anymore, so you stop living like that, and you start living as though you belong to Christ. And so you work out your salvation. It doesn't mean you work for your salvation. You can't work for your salvation. But because you are saved, you work it out. It's evidenced in your life, and you do so with fear and trembling because God is working in you. I ask you a question. Is God working in you today? I mean, is the Spirit of God convicting your heart? Does he show you things in the Scriptures? Does he move in your life? Because if you're born again and God's not working in you, something is wrong. Because those who belong to God, God is working. He's not satisfied to leave you where you're at. That means if you don't feel the Spirit of God working in your life, if you don't hear the Spirit of God working in your heart and mind, that means something is terribly wrong. And it's usually this. We've hardened our hearts against Him. We have had our consciences seared as with a hot iron. We are tamping down, quenching the Spirit of God. We are filling our hearts and minds with the things of this world, and we're not listening to God. That's why we're not hearing from God. And I'm here to tell you today that if God is in you, then He wants to change you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to perfect His holiness in you, and He's working in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And here's the news flash for all the Christians today. Your Christian life isn't about you. It's not about pleasing you. It's not about accomplishing your will. You belong to Jesus. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost that's in you because you've been bought with a price and you belong to Him. So it's about His will. It's about His good pleasure. 1 Peter chapter 1. Find verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Perfecting holiness can only be accomplished in the fear of God. We had to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling because God is working in us to accomplish His purposes. Now look to 1 Peter 1, verse 15. Find it with me because we're going to read several verses here. 1 Peter 1, 15. This is the part of the sermon when I would say, finally, brethren. Paul said that, and then he wrote three more chapters, but I'm just saying, we're gonna start making our approach to land, and so please stay with me. Don't miss this. There's a few things I'm going to highlight here from 1 Peter 1. There's so much more riches that you could dig into on your own, but just get this. 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, as he which has called you is holy. How holy is God? Just contemplate it for a second. As he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation is not having a chat with someone. Conversation is your behavior. It is your lifestyle. It is your daily walk. Everybody with me? Your manner of life. As God is holy, be holy in all the way you live your life, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You see that in verse 17? If you call on God, God's no respecter of persons, but God judges according to your work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear. What's that mean? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. We are strangers in a strange land. I belong to the kingdom of God. And so I had to live my life here in the fear of God. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You have been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, or you're not born again at all. Are you with me? Hey, do you remember where you were without Christ? Some of you would do real well to wake up and remember where you were without Christ. I was without God and without hope in this world. I was on my way to hell. I was on my way to the judgment and wrath that I deserved. As a matter of fact, the wrath of God was abiding on me. But in his great love and mercy, he saved me. He opened my eyes to see that Jesus Christ died and went to the cross to pay for my sin. He showed me that he didn't stay dead and buried, but he rose again the third day. And by faith in that, he saved me. He gave me eternal life. He brought me out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. I'm not saved by traditions. I'm not saved by works. I'm saved by Christ alone. And because of that reality, I want to live for him. And you and I get really comfortable in this world. We get really comfortable with the things that we see and hear, and it ought to vex our righteous soul. It ought to bother us to see the things happening in the world today. It ought to bother us to hear the things on our TVs today. It ought to bother us to see what's happening around us, and we should want to be separate from those things. We ought to have a desire to help those who are still in that darkness to be brought into his marvelous light. We ought to have a desire to help others and to serve him by serving others. This morning, I'm going to ask you to stand with me and my musicians to come. I'm going to ask Brother Dave to put that song, that verse, that first verse back on the screen one more time as we prepare to close today. Having therefore these promises, have you received the promises? Are you a child of the King? Is he in you? Is he walking in you? Are you his child today if you're not trusting Christ alone this morning? If you are, dearly beloved, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and Spirit. It could start right now. You could confess some things you need to confess today. You can repent of some things you need to repent of today. You can get your heart thoroughly right with Jesus right now because he stands ready to forgive us and to cleanse us if we'll confess. Listen, if he's convicting your heart, I plead with you, don't worry about what anybody else says or does or thinks. You keep your eyes fixed on Jesus today and be obedient to him. We got an opportunity this morning to walk out of this place with clean hearts and minds, ready to fulfill, to complete the holiness he started in us, to walk with him today in the fear of God, if you'll respond in faith and obedience. If he's convicting your heart, you come while we sing. Page 550.